This is Listener's Guide, a series from Big Secret Records. Each episode leads you deep into how the label's releases were made with the artists who made them. I'm Andrew Jones, the owner and operator of Big Secret Records, talking to you from the label's home base in Portland, Oregon. Today we're covering the last two tracks on Bob Cummins Jr.'s debut album, Shakewell. We're talking Switch Part 1 and Part 2, which takes us into ambient music, the Beach Boys, yet again, and staying true to yourself. Soak it in, because this is it. What was the thinking with making Switch Part 1 and Part 2? Were they separate compositions that you kind of found some similarity between, or how did that come about?
Switch 1 is... I was getting pretty heavy into ambient music, listening to a lot of William Basinski and Brian Eno, and there were two tracks on the original Shakewell that were ambient tracks, and Switch is just sort of an amalgamation of both of them. They both happen to be in the same key, so I just kind of took elements of both of them and sort of made it into a cohesive piece of work. And there's a lot of found sounds in there. I think one of the tracks is just, I put a mic up to my window so you could hear the cars passing by. I'm just trying to get a vibe of being in the room. I think Switch originally was supposed to be just about a switch of dynamics amongst just people I knew. And it was also supposed to just be about a switch in my life at that time. But it all happening so fast. And I think that's where the name for the ambient piece came from. That's supposed to be sort of somber, sobering. And then Switch 2 was one of the first things that I wrote for Shakewell as just an instrumental piece. And it does very... it does switch into that song very abruptly. So I feel like it's one of the sappier songs on the record. Not in a bad way.
It's the Pet Sounds song.
Moment. Right. It's like a... You know, believe in yourself. Don't switch off the things that that make you you. You know, because you're gonna want it back again. I think it was just sort of there wasn't a concept behind it at the beginning. I think it was just making two things that weren't very cohesive work together, and I think it works as a piece. And the two parts, you know, there's the very sad, contemplative, and celebratory together, just sort of make this overall melancholy mixed bag for the end of the record. And I thought it was a good way to end it, where you have both those feelings kind of clashing and melding into one and surprising you. I love records that have musical jokes and surprise you.
How did you do the guitar sound for Switch Part 2? It's like really heavy and chunky. It sounds very like it was slowed down, maybe.
Yeah. So I mean, it's like four different guitar parts. So another limitation, another really like stupid limitation, because I lived with two other guitarists, and I didn't have a capo. So I was like, okay, I'm just gonna Vera speed it.
I love that so much.
It's like three or four different guitar tracks, Vera-speeded, playing the chords in different shapes.
Did you not just like go into my room and get a capo?
No. But I think it has a cool texture for it, I guess. So I think it has that chunkiness too, because, you know, the slowed the slowed down parts feel very clung, clung, clung. The faster parts, they're probably a little behind because I was having to play it incredibly fast. But it all ends up in sort of this soupy sounding driving guitar part. That song, I guess it feels Pet Sounds, but it's also, it started out as a synth pop thing. If you listen, there's an acoustic, quote-unquote, drum part, and then there's the synth drum part, and it's just kind of melding these two disparate things together to make a texture.
Bob and I have always had a really wonderful, like, creative, collaborative relationship among our friendship, but I feel like this project was just like it just forced us into a lot of new places together. And I'm just so proud of it. It's one of my favorite records I've ever gotten to work on, partially because it was like done in such a fun way. We were just in isolation, we didn't know what the hell to do, and
right.
It's like, I guess let's work on some songs together. It was just like so much fun, and so seeing it kind of taking the shape it's taken and the trajectory it's had, it's really special, and I'm eternally grateful that I was able to lend it.
I don't really have much to say more about it. To switch it on once again. To switch it on once again. To switch it on once again.
What a journey into Shakewell and all the tracks that make up that lovely, strange little album. A reminder that Big Secret Records is releasing it yet again, remastered with additional tracks, plus a very special live in studio performance of the whole album front to back with an extra song. The first limited run of CDs includes a Blu-ray of that performance, so you're going to get the audio as well as the video, and future editions are just going to have the audio. So if you want to see it, you got to pick up one of those special double disc albums that is not that expensive, quite frankly. It's cheaper than a vinyl record, I'll tell you that. So now that you know about Shakewell, its re-release, and the maestro, Bob Cummins Jr., don't keep it a secret, okay? Subscribe to the podcast to learn about future Big Secret Records releases, and visit BigSecretRecords.com or find the label on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter to learn more about what's next. Thank you for listening.